The little church of Rounday St. John's was built by the Nicholson family, who owned and ran the Rounday estate in the years before it became a public park. It was opened in 1826, thanks to a generous endowment on the part of Stephen Nicholson, who took over the running of the Rounday estate following the death of his half-brother Thomas in 1821. As prominent local landowners, the Nicholsons felt it was their duty to provide a place of worship for those who lived nearby. The graveyard that surrounds the church contains the graves of many notable members of the Rounday community. Amongst them are Sir James Kitson, the railway engineer and industrialist, who lived at Elmeet Hall. Kitson was the mayor of Leeds from 1860 to 1861. He was also one of the local landowners who most vociferously opposed the creation of the public park, objecting to invasion by the city centre Hoi Polloi. Not far from Kitson's grave, which takes the form of a small Celtic cross, is a wall plaque in memory of Joseph and Sarah Whitley. They were the mother and father-in-law of Louis Aimé Augustin Leprance. Leprance was a pioneer in the development of early cinematography and made a series of short films in the late 1880s, which have a claim to be the earliest moving pictures in the world. One of these, Rounday Garden Scene, was shot in the Whitley's garden at Rounday Cottage, later renamed Oakwood Grange. Both Joseph and Sarah are featured in the film, which shows them dancing around the lawn. The film is available to view online, but sadly the house was demolished in 1972. Another grave of note is harder to find, thanks to encroaching foliage in the lower part of the graveyard. This is the final resting place of Charles Thompson, a former gamekeeper on the Nicholson estate. In May 1840, Charles was accidentally shot by William Nicholson Nicholson, the nephew of Stephen Nicholson, who at the time lived in Park Cottage, a now demolished building that stood near the site of the present-day Rounday Fox pub. There had recently been a spate of break-ins in the area, and Stephen Nicholson, who lived in the mansion, had asked his staff to keep an armed guard on the estate. It was a rainy night, and around about 1 in the morning the gamekeeper decided to shelter in the doorway of Park Cottage. Clearly Stephen Nicholson's anxiety had communicated itself to his nephew. Hearing a noise outside his house, William and his groom went out to investigate. Sadly, they were armed. They saw a figure crouched in the doorway and challenged him to identify himself. But for whatever reason, the stranger didn't hear and didn't answer. William raised his gun and fired, hitting the figure in the stomach. The man cried out and raised his own rifle. Seeing this, Nicholson fired again. It was only on coming closer to inspect the fallen stranger that he realised that he had shot his uncle's gamekeeper. The first shot had wounded him badly in the abdomen. A surgeon was called to attend to his injuries, but he died of his wounds later on the next day. The strangest thing about the story is that Charles Thompson apparently forgave and exonerated his killer. In a sworn statement given shortly before his death, he said that he had failed to recognise the two men who approached him, and that he'd intended to shoot them both, believing them to be burglars. If Nicholson had not shot first, it would have been Thompson facing charges. Nicholson was cleared of murder at the inquest, a verdict being recorded of homicide by misadventure. But the events cast a pall over the rest of his life. Charles Thompson's gravestone is located near the graveyard wall, just below the southeast corner of the church. Although it is hard to find nowadays, Stephen Burt has recorded the inscription on the grave in his illustrated history of Rounday Park.
In memory of Charles George Thompson, gamekeeper of Rounday Park, who died May the 19th, 1840, aged 49 years. Brief time death's cruel summons gave between his duty and the grave. He roams no more the woodland round, nor hears the gun's deep starting sound. while friends and kindred o'er him weep, he calmly takes this last cold sleep.